And thanks for tuning in. I'm joined today by two very special guests who are about to embark on a bit of a journey. I've got Steph and Jim here to talk about, well, their adventure. Jim, where are you going?
I'm travelling to Ghana in West Africa.
All right. And how are you getting there?
Well, I'm basically winging it. So basically, I'm going to be leaving New Hartley or some point in Newcastle.
Yeah.
About the third week in February. Yeah. And I'm just going to be walking and hitching and winging it, basically. I'm not allowed to pay for any transport of any kind between here and Ghana in Africa.
Yeah, and how many miles is that?
It depends which way you go and how lucky I am. So it could be anywhere between 4,000 and 5,000 miles.
Right, so you're winging it 5,000 miles.
Yeah. I'm on a wing and a prayer.
Right. And I've got to be there.
No. And I've got to be there tomorrow.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem. So you're raising funds for Ghanaian Children's Trust.
That's right. Yeah. And it's a small volunteer-run charity that basically supports orphans and destitute children in Ghana.
Yeah.
And it's been running for about 6 years now, but has done a lot of work to help the children in a particular orphanage. And what we'd like to be able to do is to help them further and get more funds so we can help more children.
Yeah.
But basically, they provide as much as they can for the children. There's a building there which is way too small. It was built for the numbers of children that they had about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Only a third finished.
That's it. Oh, yeah. And the pastor who runs the orphanage will not turn a child away. I mean, you can't turn children away that need help. So it's very overcrowded. The children don't have a proper diet. They live mainly off rice and carbohydrate. They don't get much protein at all. And they go to school because it's vital that the children are educated if they're going to have a future.
Yeah.
But it's free education. However, you've got to pay for books. You've got to pay for a chair, believe it or not. You've got to pay for pens. There's this fee, there's that fee. So although it's free school, it's not free at all. And all of that costs money.
Yeah.
So that's what the orphanage does, really. It just tries to do as much as it possibly can for
children.
Yeah, blankets, bedding, mosquito nets, health care. The children, unfortunately, they're children, they get ill. There's malaria out there, and they do tend to succumb to that. So all of the health care needs to be paid for. So there's a lot of money that's needed.
Yeah.
And what Jim is going to do, as he said, is to travel to see the orphanage. That's going to be the end point when he actually walks to the gates of the orphanage. But he's not allowed to pay for any travel, and he's not allowed to use air travel either. So if he can't get a lift, he's walking.
Yeah. Any dust croppers, sorry, can't use you.
When it comes to, you know, when it comes to crossing seas, will you go around them if you can't get on a boat? Or
it's a good question. Fishing boats are useful. People that there's quite a lot of tourist yachtsmen out there, and as far as they either live on their boat year round, or they use it for a percentage of the year, they just go sailing.
Yeah.
So they're very helpful. That's a small community. It's a large number of people, but they have a small community to them, do you know, and they do tend to stick together.
Yeah.
And they're very helpful, and they've got a great outlook because they're out there. Fishermen seem to have a similar outlook. They're pretty good people, and again, I'm looking for good people that have a means of transport wherever I am to get to where I need to be.
Absolutely.
And I'm just relying on a good heart.
Yeah.
We were saying one of the hardest parts will actually be getting out of this country.
Yeah.
Because obviously you've got to cross water. There's no other way.
Yeah.
But we're hoping that somebody, even if it's just somebody going on a booze cruise or something like that, will say, jump in the car and I'll take you across.
Yeah.
You know, any truckers out there, that type of thing. So we're hoping that will, you'll overcome that one.
Yeah. And, I think once I land in mainland Europe, from there, I'm going to have roughly, depending on where I end up in Europe, I could go straight across from here or Kent or from the south coast into Spain, either way. But it's across Europe, it's anywhere between 2,000 and 3,500 miles down to Gibraltar. So once I'm on mainland Europe, that will be a good portion of the journey, and that's across land. And I don't think there'll be some walking. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of walking, but I'm sure there's going to be a few people that are kind-hearted enough to,
to give you a lift.
So, yeah, come on, jump in. Like, you know, for the cause.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great, isn't it? Do you have any fears and worries about undertaking such a journey, or?
I think everyone has their own fears and worries, but unless you actually overcome those, you won't actually get out to do it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, once you're out there doing it, you haven't got time for fears and worries.
Yeah.
So I think I'll get out there and then see what happens.
And,
and as Jim said, you know, when compared to the people that were trying to help the children and what they're experiencing every day, a bit of hardship for a few months, you can tell I'm not going.
It is very true. I'm sure in those darker moments or less fortunate moments on the road, you know, no matter how bad it's getting for me, I realise who I'm doing it for, and very quickly that gravitates you back to a sort of realistic view, do you know? Because these guys are, you know, before they're picked up by Pastor Kofi, they're living on the street, basically, and getting away, getting by that kids living on the street do.
And again, having to go through things without anything at all, which is just a slice of what, you know, you'll be doing.
I mean, those children that aren't orphans quite often have been living with parents who can't take care of them for whatever reason. It might be mental illness, it might be that they're physically ill, or that unfortunately some of them there's alcohol involved and drugs, so in that way it's no different to here. What
there's
is different
pressures
to here
as well
that's it. What is different to here is they don't have a state, a welfare state that will take children and take care of them, and those children will just have to stay in those conditions. And fortunately there's people like the pastor there who can take the children in and take care of them and give them a chance at a future.
I mean, they've not brought about any of their own. I mean, with adults it's to some extent, I'm not saying, you know, but sometimes we look and we think, oh, maybe they've brought about their own, but children have done nothing to bring about their own. And, you know, the conditions that they're living in, the least we can do is give them a go, you know, give them a chance.
Everyone needs a fair shot. It's providing that, isn't it?
Exactly.
So it's a very good cause, although it's going to be, it's going to be very tough. I mean, you know, at 3,500, 4,500, maybe more, depending on what route it ends up being. That's a long way, and it's going to be. It is going to be very, very tough.
And I gather you haven't got your journey home sorted either. It's the as we were saying before.
You did ask, and that was the first time actually the subject had been raised. And maybe we should look at that. But I think all our focus, because we've only been organising it for a couple of 3 weeks or so now since the idea was born. All our focus has been on trying to work out how we're going to do it, how we're going to get public awareness out there enough to make the journey worthwhile so that these kids benefit. And we haven't really looked beyond that, you know. I think I'm going to be so lucky or so happy if I manage to make it. I'd be quite happy to, glad to be carried back.
Might just meet them there and say, well done, you've raised all this money and
now you've got
to walk back. See you back home. So the orphanage itself, you say there's a couple of success stories coming through past investment within the orphanage.
That's right. We've got a couple of they're not children anymore, they're adults now, young adults who have graduated from university. So they've been came to the orphanage when they were very young, have gone through the education system, and they're now graduates and off getting jobs and things like that.
What a success story.
And some at technical college and things. And what we find is when they're not there, they go back to the orphanage and they help the children. So they see it very much as that's their family. The children, they've actually set up their own dressmaking. So for the children that aren't academic, they learn to do dressmaking, which is a big thing out there. Everybody gets their clothes made. They tend not to buy them off the peg.
Economics, I'm sure.
So, and there's another somebody who goes in regularly and is teaching some of them hairdressing and things. So they're learning skills so that they can actually survive and contribute to society. I think that's it. It's seen to be very important that they're not dependent on anybody to take care of them, mm-hmm. just because they haven't had the best start in life. The, yeah. the whole point is we want them to be independent, and we want them to live full lives.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing to be proud of, to come out yeah. of the other side having such a yeah. rotten start, to yeah. then be given that chance to go on and have success in their own lives, but also pass that on exactly. To other people exactly. and put
and
back in.
That's it. One of our lads is actually training to be a teacher as well, which mm. is great, because that means he's hopefully going to end up, if not teaching more of the orphans, he'll be teaching children somewhere, yeah. and I'm sure his experiences will come to bear on that. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
great.
It's brilliant. So, where were we? Yeah, so you've got this journey, you're heading to the orphanage, and yeah, you were starting off, sort of heading off here. Have you got your first lift organised? Because I see on the Facebook and the Twitter, once you've got that, you know, that's your sort of point to go.
We don't, there's a few sort of arrangements that need to be made first. Yeah. Poor Jim's had needles stuck in his arm yeah. quite a lot over the past fortnight, with all vaccinations and yeah. things like that, because obviously we want to make sure that he's as safe as possible.
It's very dangerous out there, apparently. Yeah.
so there's a lot of stuff around that. And the big thing is, we want to raise a decent amount of money before yeah. he leaves, because the last thing we want is to make this huge journey and get yeah. £50.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done around sort of making sure that people know about what he's doing
yeah.
and donate. And then just sort of basic things like he's got to make sure he's got all the kit, which yeah. of course he's got to carry on his back, so yeah. it's not going to be that much.
I did mean to. Are you taking a tent with you? Is that?
That's in the process of yeah. debating, because sometimes it's beneficial and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, because it's heavy.
No, you can get lightweight. You can get yeah. lightweight tents that are easy enough to put up.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to be carrying stuff that is completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot. Once you're out in the field, there's an awful lot of the natural environment around you that you can put to good use.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that that's actually a requirement.
Yeah.
So, but I've got most of the other, well, all of the other stuff that would go with that. It's just being closed in. It's not, you know.
Do you have any experience of doing anything similar, or outdoor skills or language skills that you maybe put into use here?
I used to go camping when I was a kid.
That'll do.
I know how to speak in about 37 languages. Yeah. I'll put my hands together.
That's all
please.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, speak English.
Yeah, that'll be all right, yeah.
So, yeah. It's just a wing and a prayer, really. Just yeah. see how you get on and do the best you can with it all. So, I don't see that it's going to be tragically impossible or anything like that. But I do expect to have a lot of adventures that are not necessarily as joyous and rosy coloured as they could be.
No. Well, that's it. Well, it's a trial, isn't it?
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, especially for such a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So. How can we find out more about the Ghanaian Children's Trust?
Right, well, the Ghanaian Children's Trust has a website, which is just www.ghanaianchildrenstrust.org.uk.
Yeah.
And so that'll tell you all about the trust, and it actually has a link from there to Jim's fundraising page,
yeah.
which is actually Virgin Money Giving.
Yeah.
.com,
which you can find on the Lionheart website as well. We've put a link up for you.
So that's if you want to donate. If you want to just sort of either contribute to the discussions and give us some ideas, or offer lifts, that type of thing, or keep track of his journey, because once he's on the road, he's going to be letting us know where he is and how things are going, and that'll be going up on Twitter and on Facebook, and that's at Journey to Kumasi, which is the Twitter link, and Journey to Kumasi Facebook group, so you can join that, and there's little sayings and thoughts and contributions on there as well, so we're hoping to get quite a big community going on.
Yeah,
it's nice for it to be a forum where people can, you know, get on and raise comments and maybe give advice and their thoughts as well. I mean, you mentioned earlier about getting out of the UK. I do have to cross a stretch of water in order to do that, and depending where you cross, it depends on how much water you have to cross. But once I'm in mainland Europe, I can actually get quite a fair bit of progression of the journey under my belt. So considering there's so many options for travelling across from either here to Holland directly or going down the south to Spain or going Kent to France or you know, such like, then anyone who does regular transport that way and would like to offer a lift or even a part way down south or something like that, that would be great. And also, we haven't actually yet, what would be lovely, one of the things we'd like to ask for, is it would be nice to get some form of an event in Newcastle from which to leave.
Do you know?
And it would be, you know, to, big, to give a sort of big shout for Newcastle, for this is where the journey starts. So maybe some event where a few people could gather and maybe get involved in walking part of the journey with me, maybe a mile or something, and they could sponsor themselves or their friends or whatever to do it with them. Or just a big party, I'm quite happy with it.
I think you're deserving of a big party to, to start the journey, actually.
I don't mind carrying a couple of bottles of wine if somebody wants to donate.
I think that's a good idea.
But I think this is one of the things, we don't want it to just be all about Jim's journey, as I'm calling it now.
Yeah.
Because we'd like people to get involved and to feel that they're actually part of what's happening. And things like the minimum route, if he goes sort of the most direct route, would be about 3,500 miles. And if we could get 3,500 school children, say, to walk a mile and get sponsored a pound, that's £3,500. £10, which is probably less than a lunch for a family of four, what you can get for £10 these days. But if they could raise £10 each, that's £35,000, and that could absolutely transform the lives of these children. You know, £10 to us is nothing, but if lots of people come together and just do something small and donate that money, it will make a massive difference.
Yeah, I mean, for that sort of money, they could have a roof for the rainy season.
Which
they're probably lacking each year when they're looking up thinking, when's it going to arrive?
I can see. I mean, the thing is with a journey like this, you know, we're referring to it as Jim's journey, but by the very nature of the journey, it becomes everybody's journey. Everybody that helps you is contributing. Every lift that you get, everybody who walks along with you is also contributing in their own way, both physically and hopefully financially as well. So it becomes a journey for everybody in a lot of ways, although, you know, it's definitely your...
Because in truth, it's a journey of awareness, and what we're trying to do is raise the awareness of people across Western Europe to the plight and the suffering and conditions of the kids over here in Ghana. And me making the walk, really, is just a thread.
Yeah.
The cloth of it, if you like, the fabric of it, is people's awareness. Like, I know the Girls Guides Association are getting behind it because there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And I just think it would be such a wonderful thing, because I'm pretty confident that you have associations like Girl Guides or similar related in France and Spain and places like that.
Oh, absolutely.
So if they could jump on it, and maybe when I'm walking through France, they could designate a mile or something like that where they do the same, or in Spain or Morocco where they do the same, you know. And it becomes a more overall picture.
And a community event for all the places that you're going through, to help another community which needs that help.
Exactly.
I gather there's been quite a lot of communication between the orphanage and the UK as a rule. Do you keep in regular touch? Are there groups in the UK that keep in regular touch with the children?
We do. Girl Guiding Newcastle actually, I suppose in some ways, in a strange way, started this off. They were looking for a big fundraiser to do around 2001, and we found the orphanage through the guides in Ghana and raised money to build the basis of the orphanage now. And they raised about £35,000 back then to build
it.
And then we took a group of guides out there and we worked in the orphanage, and every 3 years now a group of guides from Newcastle goes out to Ghana. So there's sort of fairly frequent communication there, but obviously through the charity as well, we do keep in touch. And I think that's one of the things that we'd like to say to sort of schools and things like that. If they would like to get involved, have a non-uniform day or walk a mile or whatever, we'd be really keen to come and tell you about what is he doing. I'm actually half Ghanaian and can do Ghanaian dancing, and my father's a Ghanaian chief, so we can bring stuff to you as well.
Yeah.
Because I think this is what we wanted all to be, but it's a two-way thing,
yeah.
Really.
It provides opportunities for those at home as well, that, you know, you can see a slice of something that's a bit different.
Especially kids involved as well, do you know, because... Yeah. You know, they seem to understand it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And when you explain it to them, they have a lot less sort of material questions in their mind, and they just say, oh, gee, there's children out there that are suffering and they're not as well off as we are. Yeah. Of course we can help. And you think, that bless them, bless their heart, you know, they've got it, so the more schools you can get involved from all over, but initially we're concentrating on Newcastle because that's where we're setting off from.
And the North East,
you know, but that's where we're setting off from, so anywhere in the North East really. Yeah. But as I go through the country, if that's what I end up doing, it would be lovely to correlate that so you get other schools involved or other groups and workplaces even.
I mean, I actually work for the North East Ambulance Service, and we're having a dress down day.
Not giving them a lift.
No.
Sorry.
The headquarters having the dress down day and things, and all the money will go to support the journey. And it, just something small like that, you know, it's not that we're asking people to make the kind of journey that Jim's going to do, but it's just about doing something, even if it's just getting out your credit card and getting to Virgin Money Giving and donating some money.
And it's little amounts make up huge differences.
It is. We are getting a lot of sponsor forms printed up as well, because there are going to be a lot of people that want to donate a small amount, which is fantastic, you know, and there's no reason why it should all be of a large amount. Yeah. But I was a bit, I don't know if sarcasm is the right word, but I put a post up on the Facebook the other day, and I was just trying to encourage people really in a polite way, but I pointed out that it had taken me hours to work this out, but if 700 people put in £1, that's twice as much as if 7 people put in £50.
Yeah.
And it costs them £49 less to do it, do you know?
Yeah.
So simple things like that. So we're trying to get sponsor... We're in the process of getting sponsor forms printed up, and that way they can... The gig is, hopefully, they can make a donation, a small donation, by using the sponsor form, and they won't have to use the website, although it's there for those that do. But also, if some people want to, they can sponsor me per mile.
Yeah.
That could be interesting, because one of the rules is that I am to take the most direct route available to me at any one time.
Yeah.
But that might not be very direct.
No, that might just not be possible. No.
So if someone is willing to gamble £1 a mile, they could end up spending 50 quid.
Yeah.
Penny a mile.
Although a pound a mile would be great.
A penny a mile, and they could end up spending £50 and be very happy doing it, you know, because you've taken a gamble.
Well, that's it. And it works, you know, it can spin either way, really, can't it? What a fantastic way. When it comes to people coming alongside you on your journey, do you think there'll be many opportunities? Are you developing ways that people can walk along with you, or are you...
At the moment here, that's very feasible, because I haven't organised the lift. People can walk down to the south coast with me if they want to. But as there's no organising for lifts, so basically we're reliant on anyone volunteering, and if they're going down haulage companies, etc., or chicken trucks, you know, that sort of thing. If they're heading down a certain way, then I can, and they phone up and they say, oh, look, I'm going this way, would you like to get involved? Definitely. So until something's organised, I'm going to be walking the fairway, so people can join in wherever they wish.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I think the thing as well, though, is if somebody says that we've got 10 people and we want to walk 10 miles with you,
I'll be there.
We'll make sure that happens.
I'll be there happily. There's no harm in changing the direction in order to accommodate a good art, you know.
Oh, absolutely, but when you get to the orphanage, will you be spending some time there? Will you have chance to speak to the pastor?
Hopefully I'll have a bath and a cup of tea. I might still have some of the bottles of wine left.
Yeah.
What I would like to do, it's just the sort of guy I am. I can't help getting involved in this. How come I'm here doing this in the first place? Yeah. I'm sure when I get out there, and I've got this picture of these kids jumping up and down smiling, and it'll just bowl me over, and I'll be happy out, and I'll be happy little Larry, as they say.
Yeah.
So I can see me staying around for a few days to get involved in help building whatever needs to be constructed and help doing, or, you know, helping in some fashion or another, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny actually, because one of the things, I've been over there quite a lot because of family connections, and one of the things that the children love is just having somebody to play with.
Yeah.
So when I go over, I always do, because I'm a guide leader, so I know all the songs and things like that. So I always go and I sing songs, and it's at the point now where as soon as they see me, there's one particular song that I taught them back in 2002.
Oh, which song is it?
It's Dum Dum Dada.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I taught it to them because it's a nonsense song. Yeah. There's no words. Yeah. So they didn't have to learn anything complicated. Mm-hmm. And the young children don't speak English. It's only once they go to school that they learn English. And I taught it to them in 2002, and they've continued to teach it.
Oh, fantastic.
As the years have gone by. Yeah. So the second that they see me, they start singing the song. It, and they want me to do that. So, so just having that adult interaction and somebody who can play with them, because they don't get that. Yeah. Every adult that they come into contact with is a teacher, or it's somebody who's cooking food for them, or it's somebody who's it's always somebody who is there to do a job for them.
They because there'll be limited resources. That's so it. Play is a privilege,
it's a fantastic thing as well, you go in and you don't necessarily, in these places, you don't necessarily realise the input you're doing when you're doing it, because you've left a legacy, and it just goes to show that whatever we bring to these people in this situation, whatever we bring, we are something is being left behind from that interaction, where they can go on to further their education, or just simply their enjoyment of what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Just bringing something that simple and yet so pleasurable to them is enough, really, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not enough, but it's enough for you personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and I think that's invaluable as well, because that's what life is all about, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's those opportunities and education and work in education is great.
Yeah.
But I think for children it's essential to have some fun as well, happy people produce a happier life, you know.
Who are we if we're not what we give and what we leave behind?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
If we can't give, what can we leave behind?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
So
it's a great attitude.
I think it'll be great to for Jim to be there after having done this huge sort of challenge, really, and to get there. And I know that you'll get that reception from the kids. That they are aware now of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got over the shock of what he's doing, and they're all really, really excited about it and can't wait to meet him when he gets there.
Yeah.
And we'll be giving them updates as well as to how he's progressing.
Mm-hmm.
Jim's going to be updating us, and we'll pop that onto the website. So, we'll all be able to follow him. Once he gets there, I think just being able to spend some time enjoying time with the children and the pastor and things like that will be really great.
Yeah.
I shall be in my element. If I manage to make this, I shall be in my element. I'm going to need a few days before anyone will be able to pull me off cloud nine.
Yeah, I think so.
Every time I'm going to be looking over my shoulder thinking, I've done it.
Yeah. It's funny for me, like, the thumb's still up it's fantastic. You think it'll take about 3 months to complete?
It would be lovely if it could be done in 3 months, three and a half months, and if anyone would like to set me a challenge and they'd have to put a fair wager behind that challenge, I might be inclined to accept it. Realistically, I do also understand that if fortune is not in my favour, it could well take 5 or 6 months. So, it is on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah.
And it's on my wing and a prayer for the kids at the orphanage is what it's for. So, if I get a lift from France going to Gibraltar, I've just covered 2,000 miles in one lift, you know, which is grand. Mm-hmm. If I get a lift from France to the Basque border of Spain, then I've got another 2,000, which could be another 20, 40 journeys, mm-hmm. you know, or lifts or just walking.
Yeah. So. And that's the thing, really, that the gym's got to be prepared to walk every single step. Because there are no guarantees about this at all. And I think, sort of from discussing it with them, the toughest thing, apart from getting out of the UK and, of course, the little matter of the Sahara Desert, is just going to be having that mental fitness to be able to stay with yourself and possibly, you know, only with your own thoughts for possibly days on end.
Yeah, because you're not going to have, you're not going to be able to take an MP3 player with you because you've not got the electricity to charge it up.
That's right.
So
I'm taking nothing with me. It was an interesting question came up the other day, actually, when we were chatting to somebody, and they mentioned that how physically fit you are. I suppose that has some... I'm physically able, I have the function of all my limbs, and for that I'm very blessed, but really the challenge out there is not so much a physical one, because if you're overweight, by the time you've been on the road,
your fitness will improve.
That's something that will cure itself. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm not, but, you know, other physical ailments that could hold you back that way can be cured by the walking.
Yeah.
But it is mental fitness.
Yeah.
And, well, I hope I'm mentally fit.
Be very interesting to live with.
But you do have to be fairly strong of mind, and you know, you've got to be that sort of guy or that sort of person. In fact, it's not a guy thing, is it, at all? But that sort of person that when the trouble arises and you do feel your back up against the cold stone wall, metaphorically speaking, you are of the mind of saying, right, okay, let's look at the facts here. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do about this to overcome it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be one of those people that are a little bit flappy and
you can't panic.
And
it goes wrong.
the ultimate thing, really, and I suppose it reflects in the fact that I thought about this 3 weeks ago and believing in less than 4 weeks, I think it probably is now, so it's very much a kind of, right, let's do it, is being positive about it. Mm-hmm. We're convinced he's going to do it, he's going to get there. Being the type of person that will do just that, take action.
Yeah.
You know, once you've had the idea, what's the point of sitting around, you may as well
indeed.
Go
well, that's
do
it.
It.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Talk is cheap, and positive thought can take us anywhere we want to be. Where we are today, most of us in that environment today, whether we're happy with it or not, invariably the good things that have come out of our life have all been brought about our own positive thought. And that's what does it. That is the key to it. All. Just maintaining that view that it will be done.
Yeah.
It's just a question of how I want to go about doing it.
Well, it's that faith that it will be all right.
Yeah.
And determination as well, because it's such a mammoth thing to have that just pure determination to just keep going.
And I suppose the motivation behind that, knowing why he's doing it. I don't mean to sound silly or flippant about this, but it's not as if just sort of said, well, you know, I want to do this because it's a personal challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that he's doing this is because it's going to help the children. It's going to make a huge difference in their lives. But it will only make a huge difference in their lives if we actually get the fundraising as well.
Yeah.
So, and
for me, I mean, what could anyone possibly ask for better than that? You know, to have not only to have challenged yourself in your own personal being, like that you've taken yourself to a little bit further than maybe you would go every day. But also on the side of that, you've got so much benefit or good being done from it.
Yeah.
You can't help but walk away from a situation like that if you're successful.
Yeah.
I'm successful.
Of course you will be. when you succeed.
You can't help but walk away from a situation like that a better person for having done it.
Yeah.
You know? So it is self-motivated, but it's self-motivated for the best possible reason
that I can atone
to it.
Yeah.
Oh
well. So just again, to round up, where do we go to donate and how do we follow you on your journey? But the websites again.
The website to donate is virginmoney.com and it's under the name of
Virgin Money Giving,
thank you, .com. And it's / James.
Yeah.
To follow on Twitter, it's @journeytokumasi, which is spelled KUMASI, and on Facebook it's Journey to Kumasi Group, which is the same
There's a group page, don't
you? Yeah, it's a group page. So just type into the search at the top, Journey to Kumasi, and it'll take you straight
through. Anyone who has problems getting onto the group page, mm-hmm. Journey to Kumasi, if there's also a Facebook page, Jim James.
Yeah.
So if they want to go onto that and just click on that, I'll invite them on as friends if they have trouble. Yeah. But a lot of people have managed to get straight onto the group page, so it should be okay.
Yeah,
and
so Journey to Kumasi.
The other way is if all else fails and you need to email or whatever, then we've got an email address, which is just, again, Journey to Kumasi, keeping it simple, at yahoo.com.
Yeah, and there we can find out how it's going.
Yeah, there'll be a map up.
Yeah.
Progressive. We're hoping to have a sort of, as the crow flies line, which is about 3,500 miles, but obviously that's not the route I'm going to take, and so watch it and see the circles and meanderings.
Yeah, absolutely, as to show we don't double back. That's the key.
Especially not if you sponsor per mile. That matters.
Oh, yeah. Well, we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Will you come back and see us when you've completed? And we'll hear a bit more about how the children have reacted and how they've benefited and how this money's been put to use. And
well, you never know. I might be able to do an online conversation with you or conversation.
That would be fantastic. And we can speak to the orphanage. That would be great to be able to take part in just a little slice of the journey like that.
That's
great.
That's what we want everyone to do.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I do congratulate you, and as I say, just wish you all the best, really. So how great was that? Journey to Kumasi, James Timpany, and that was his partner Steph here in the studio as well. I talk about that incredible journey to go to Ghana to raise money for the Ghanaian Children's Trust and an orphanage over there.